This morning during pre-service worship, the Lord brought to mind somebody, and I began to pray for them because they're battling a physical something. And it wasn't a long prayer, a short 3-4 sentences, whatever. Prayed for them. When I got done, he spoke up and he said this: confession is not a substitute for good nutrition. Confession is not a substitute for good nutrition. And then he began giving me some more that I sat down, I don't know, a couple of times and, you know, wrote, because I knew I was supposed to share this tonight. And then this afternoon, he brought it all together. And we'll get to that concept of confession is not a substitute for good nutrition. We'll get back to that here in a little bit. But I want to share with you a few stories. These are all true. There was a preacher, and I may have had his name at one time, but I did not put it in my notes. And I probably did it just, if I knew his name, I left his name out on purpose, just out of respect. But anyway, he was one of these, you know, real high-powered kind of preachers. And he's at a service, at a church, and he's preaching, and it's summertime, and, you know, he preached, and man, I mean, he got them all worked up and so forth. And what happened during the service, he's getting all hot and sweaty, and this was on a Sunday night, but outside, the weather began to change, and the temperature dropped a lot, and it got really cool, and a breeze kicked up. Well, when the service was over, you know, his shirt was all sweaty, and he was hot and just all sweaty. And someone suggested, well, maybe you should put on a coat. He said, oh, no, no, you know, God will protect me. Well, he contracted pneumonia and died. True story. There's another one. There was a couple invited a pastor and his wife out to dinner. Now, this was a couple, the pastor and his wife were visiting this church, and this couple, we'd like to take you out to dinner. Took them to a nice restaurant. And the pastor said, while we were sitting there, you know, this man's wife was a lady of, I forget his terminology, something like, I don't know, like very notable girth. You understand? She was large. And he said she sat there at the table when the food was delivered and began casting out the calories in the name of Jesus. And the pastor said somebody needed to tell her this was not working. That's a true story. In 1988, how many of you were alive in 1988? Okay. How many of you had a functioning memory in 1988? Okay. In 1988, there was a man who wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. I was just shocked by all the people who jumped on the bandwagon of that book. He's coming back. I forget, it was like sometime in October or whatever. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And so a lot of Christians, you know, they went in and they quit their jobs. And many of them went out and borrowed money, ran up the credit cards, just went crazy buying stuff and going into debt. And they said, well, Jesus is coming back. We'll let the Antichrist pay for it. Well, here we are 30 years later. Jesus still has not come back. And some of those people may still be paying on those debts. That was just nuts. Absolutely not. I mean, they completely ignored Scripture. No man knows the day nor the hour. All right? You know, they completely ignored the Word of God. Well, then, this last story I'll share with you. There was a couple that went to the pastor, and the pastor will go unnamed. They went to the pastor, and they were mad. Really, really mad. And he's, you know, what's wrong? What? Said, we're mad, which was obvious. The reason they were mad was because the wife was pregnant. And they're mad at the pastor. And he's thinking, what? Why are you mad at me because she's pregnant? Hey, no. No. Well, what it was, they said, all this stuff about faith you've been preaching, it's not true and it doesn't work. He said, what are you talking about? Well, they had been engaging in matrimonial bliss without the use of any preventatives, because they were engaging in this activity by faith that she was not going to get pregnant. But then she got pregnant. This is true. And they were furious at the pastor. Well, apparently, that part about be fruitful and multiply had no bearing on their belief system. Now, those are just four stories that most Christians would sit back and scratch their heads and think, you got to be joking me. Well, no, they're true. In fact, I'll give you one more. Happened last year. In a church, pastor's preaching about faith. You got to have faith, believe God, faith, and so forth. And then for an object lesson, he asked a lady, you know, would you like to come and help me? And yeah, she agreed, I'll come up help. So he had her lie down on the floor. Now this speaker over here, this is a subwoofer, and it produces all the low frequencies. This alone weighs, it's at least 125 pounds. Now what this pastor did was have at least two of the ushers pick up a big speaker like that and lay it on this lady's chest. Then the pastor climbed on top of it and is preaching. Well, guess what? It crushed her chest. She died. And he said she didn't have faith. Well, he didn't have any brains. And I don't know the result of this, but the truth of the matter is he should have been maybe arrested and put in jail. But one of the reasons that legal, you know, prosecutors, they're really hesitant to take action on things like that is because it involves a church and it involves doctrine, and they don't want to set precedent of prosecuting people for the bad outcome of their foolish beliefs. So if there was no prosecution, at the very least, this guy should have been removed from the pulpit, maybe forever. Okay, so now I've shared with you five stories of things that have actually happened. And they're all related to faith. They all go back to what people think about faith. Well, I got news for you. Faith will not counteract foolishness. It just will not do it. And yet, you have a lot of Christians today who think they're living by faith when they're living by foolishness, stupidity, whatever the case would be. Well, there's such a thing as common sense Christianity that seems to escape a whole lot of people. And so what I'm going to do tonight is share with you some very basic, and I mean basic, principles of what you could call common sense Christianity. Now, I'd like you to open to James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And in this chapter, James begins talking about faith. We're not going to read the entire section, but look at verse 17. Even so, if it hath not works, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Then if you jump down to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. But in between this, he gives a couple of examples. For one, he talks about Abraham in verse 21. He says, Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. And then he talks about, in verse 25, Rahab, the harlot. She was justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now, you might think, well, what do you mean justified by works? Okay, You have to understand, he's not talking about justification unto salvation. He's not talking about justification relative to getting born again. He's talking about justifying what you say you believe. In other words, Abraham said he believed God. And he justified that declaration by doing what God said. And God said, all right, you say you believe me, all right, offer your son. Offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham said, well, okay, I'll do it. And he didn't really know for sure the full outcome. He didn't know what was going on, but he did believe. He did believe that God had the ability to raise somebody from the dead. And so, he started to offer his son. And we know the story. The angel shows up and says, no, don't do it. You know, here's a ram. Kill the ram and offer it for sacrifice. This justification, this whole aspect of faith without works, it means if you have faith, you will do something. You will live the faith you claim to have. Now, a lot of people think that living by faith is a matter of, well, it's almost like they believe they can just sit around, be inactive, and do nothing but, you know, pray and fast and confess the word, worship God and so forth, and that's living by faith. No, it's not. That is a part of developing your faith, if you will, but living by faith requires that you do something. You have to be physically active in doing something. And so therefore, if I'm going to live by faith, I can sit around and say, well, I'm living by faith, I'm living by faith, I'm living by faith. And God is saying, all right, you're living by faith, great. What about all those people in Hebrews chapter 11? They said they were living by faith, but they did something. Noah lived by faith. You know, he's right there in Hebrews chapter 11, where God said, all right, listen, humanity is going to be wiped out, and I'll save you and your family, but you got to build a big old boat. And here's how I want you to build it. So for like 100 years, he's building this boat, looking up. Hope it doesn't start today, because we only got the first deck finished yesterday. So year by year by year, going by, he's working to get the boat, the ark, finished, because he's living by faith that God said the flood is going to wipe out the world. So he's doing something. And he didn't just stand there and say, trees fall down, branches fall off, trees divide into boards, boards begin to move into... Listen, you know what you're doing at that point? You're talking a Star Wars movie. You're talking about, you know, the Force. Well, that's not the way it works. You know, in the movies, they sit there and they move spaceships and all this other kind of stuff, and, you know, for what they want done. It doesn't work that way. You know, in the movies, if they want the tree to fall down, they just, whoosh, and the tree falls down. Guess what we have to do? We have to get a saw, and we have to cut it. And then we've got to get rid of the limbs, and then we have to cut the boards, and then we have to finish them off, and then we have to put them together if we want an ark. That's the way it works. And if you're going to live by faith, you've got to do something. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus made the statement in verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So that means that if God says something, then I need to apply it. And nowhere do you see in Scripture where God says, hey, you know what? You just sit back and confess and worship, do all that kind of stuff, and don't do anything. I'll do the rest. No, it doesn't work that way. We believe, but we believe that how we're living is going to end up producing the desired results. See, if I'm living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, what's happening? Well, faith is being developed because Romans 10:17 tells me that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, living by faith, it absolutely mandates, it requires a heart-based knowledge of God's word in context relative to the subject. So if you're believing for healing, then you need to find out what God's word has said about healing and act appropriately. You can't live on someone else's faith or what they've said about faith. And too many people have tried that, and that's why they think that the faith message is a joke. They hear a preacher stand up and talk about faith, 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 faith. And they sit there and they think, yes, amen, he's right. There it is in the Bible, faith, faith, faith. I'm going to live by faith. So they leave the service and they make this declaration, I'm living by faith. Well, praise God. What faith? Faith on what the preacher said. It doesn't work. Because you can say, I'm living by faith, but if faith hasn't come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you don't have the faith you need to live by. It's not in there. You have to get the word in you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't get the word in you, how in the world can you say, I'm living by faith? You're living by, I hope that guy was right when he preached the other day. That's what you're living by. And all too often, you have people walking out of services when they have heard a mistaught message of faith. And so they're trying to live by something. It's just not going to produce, no matter how hard they try. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that means walk with integrity and character toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Look at that. He says in verse 11, work with your own hands so that, verse 12, you may have lack of nothing. Work, no lack. Work, no lack. You see this? Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know, and I'll stop right there. He's saying, separate yourself, withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. Who is our brother? Well, it would be fellow Christians. And he says, separate yourself. Separate yourself. Separate yourself from Christians that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition or the teaching, the instruction, which he received of us. Now he's getting ready, beginning in verse 7, to explain what it means to walk disorderly. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved ourselves We behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. All right, what are we seeing here? Do you want to eat? Then you work so you can buy food. If you don't want to eat, don't get a job, don't work, and don't come to me asking for money, because I will withdraw myself from you. It's one thing if somebody's got a physical something that keeps them from working. All right, that is not what he's addressing here. Let me put it another way. The church is not to be a welfare state for the people who could work. That's thin ice, isn't it? But that's the way it is. And too many times, churches, out of the concept of Christian love, they keep bailing people out, paying their gas bill, paying their electric bill, paying their water bill, paying their rent, their car payment, paying this, paying that, paying the other, because, well, you know, they're our brother in Christ, we need to demonstrate love. But according to the Word of God, God Himself, by the Holy Spirit giving us these words, is saying, get a job and be productive. If you're able to do this, get a job and be productive. And don't just go out there and find some sort of slap-happy job that's going to barely pay you anything so you can say you're working and still sponge off of everybody else. Yes, but you don't understand, Brother Martin, I'm called to full-time ministry. So was I. But I was bivocational for years. I pastored and I worked a full-time job. Yeah, I want to hear your sob stories. Because if you can work, get your rump out there and get a job and work. Living by faith means you do what you can. Now, you may not always get the job that you want, and you may not always get the paycheck that you want. But he says, work. Get a job. But he says here, well, I don't want to go too far into this. He's saying, look, let me get, disorderly means people who take in, Christians who take advantage of other Christians, but you're my brother in Christ. I mean, you're supposed to help me out. And then, you know, they play on the conscience, trying to make you feel guilty to where you, you know, how much you need. Okay, well, here. Well, you know what? God says withdraw yourself. And see, that is so hard for a lot of Christians. But it's not wrong to look at somebody and say, all right, you know what, you're going through a tough time. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you had a job? Oh, brother, I've been trying now. I think I've got one. I think I got one, you know, I mean, I'm expecting. I mean, they're going to call me back. I've heard this song and dance. Well, how long have you been waiting for them to call you back? Well, let's see, what time is it? 10 years. I've been waiting for them. I've seen this. I've witnessed this kind of stuff. It's like, you know what? You don't want to work. You're just lazy. And I'm not going to give you any money. Now, I may take your wife and kids out and get them a meal. As far as I'm concerned, if you end up on the streets sleeping under a tree or something, man, that's on you. Well, that's not love. Yeah, it is love. Here's the Word of God. I've got Scripture to support this. You don't have Scripture for your laziness and your manipulation. It's not right. Okay, see, living by faith means, God, this isn't the best job, all right, but you said to get a job. So I'm going to get a job, I'm going to take this job, and I'm going to work it and do everything I can with the money that I get, but I'm going to keep believing you for a better job. I'm going to keep believing you that something else is going to open up. I'll still do what I can to check out, you know, other places of employment. I'll ask around. I'll do what I can, but I am going to get a job. I am going to do what I can. And the Apostle Paul says, if you don't do that, then you're disorderly, or you're out of order as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Living by faith is not sitting around saying, well, you know what, I'm just believing God's going to meet all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And confess all the, you know, prosperity verses and so forth. Living by faith means, okay, you know, I'm believing I'm going to get out of this mess. I'm believing that I'm going to have the finances for and all, but I'm also going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to get a job It may not be the best job, may not be the best paying job, but I'm going to get out there and I am going to find work. And I am not going to be a liability, and I'm not going to be disorderly according to the structure of God's word. Guys, I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of Christians out there would get spitfire mad at what I just said, but it is the word of God. But you don't know I'm living by faith. No, if you were living by faith, you'd understand this and you wouldn't be mad at me. Now, let's see if we can find something to be happy about. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 23. Paul is writing to Timothy and he tells him, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Do you know what he's telling Timothy? Yeah, Brother Martin, tell him to go out and have a booze it up or something. No, he's not. He's telling Timothy to use medicine. Look what he says. Drink a little wine. You know what that little wine means? The process of this meant you took a little wine, you mixed it in with water. You didn't take a gallon jug and you know, get an eyedropper of water. No, you took like a tablespoon of water and 8 ounces of, or a tablespoon of wine and 8 ounces of water. I mean, I'm trying to help you get the imagery here. A little wine. Why? For your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. Well, why didn't the Apostle Paul just lay hands on him and get him healed? Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. Talk to Paul about that when you see him. But he's telling Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Take some medicine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. Maybe it had an issue with parasites or something. But he's telling him, take medicine. This is Paul. You know, walk by faith, not by sight, Paul. Just shall live by faith, Paul. And he's saying, you know what? Timothy, take medicine. Now, here's what's interesting. Why is this in here? I'm only speculating. Is it possible that some people were giving Timothy a hard time? You're supposed to be a man of faith. Why are you taking that medicine? Why aren't you the protege of the Apostle Paul? How can you say? And you know what? That same kind of an attitude exists in the body of Christ today. It's not wrong to use medicine. It's not wrong to go to therapy. It's not wrong to do these things. You know, it's funny. You run into some Christians, I'll not take medicine. No siree. I'm walking by faith. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. No kidding. Where'd you get those glasses on your face? Oh, well, I went down here to the eye doctor and he tested me and then, oh, I get it. It's okay for you to go to a doctor to get glasses so you can see, but it's wrong for me to take medicine for Sasquatch syndrome. I mean, you know, where's the line here in this? It's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. Now, living by faith, see, yes, I understand, by Jesus' stripes we were healed. I understand that faith can produce healing. I understand that. I've taught that. I believe that. However, I also know this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means that faith being developed within the individual is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So, somebody stands up and gives a testimony. You know, preacher, I went to the doctor and he diagnosed me with, you know, woolly worm disease. And I stood on the word of God and I confessed the word of God and I believed the word of God and I was totally and completely healed. So somebody hears that and they think, yes, amen. That's what I'm going to do. I'm trusting God for my healing. Well, the thing is, praise God, you know, it's what you're doing, you're right to say that and believe it, but the person that gave the testimony, they'd spent the previous 15 years feasting on the Word of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, and developing their faith to the point they were ready to attack that attack on their body. Do you understand what I'm saying? So then you have somebody, they have hardly spent any time praying in the Spirit to build themselves up on their most holy faith. They've hardly done anything to get the Word in them so that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And now they think they can do what that guy did, but they're not ready for it. And so, take your medicine. It's okay. How many of you have ever heard of Kenneth Hagin? Well, you know, Kenneth Hagin, he founded Rhema Bible Training Center. Now, Kenneth Hagin was big on faith. But if you listen to his whole testimony and his whole story, you understand why he taught faith so much. And he lived it. I mean, he developed his faith for what he did. But a lot of people hear it, and they just jump out there and then say, well, it doesn't work. Well, they haven't spent time developing their faith. Well, at Rhema Bible Training Center, one of the things that they did, when they would have orientation for all the new students, they would have people, either current students or staff or whatever, standing nearby to watch the new students when they would come forward, because some of them would take their glasses off and throw them on the floor and stomp on them and smash them and, I'm healed in Jesus' name and I don't need these glasses anymore. And then, you know, you got to go out and buy them a seeing eye dog so they can make it to the bathroom. And they would run over and grab people when they saw them start to, you know, my glasses. No, don't do that. You're not ready for that. When you take your glasses off, look, just because you take your glasses off and smash them doesn't mean God is now obligated to give you vision. When you can take your glasses off and, whoa, hey, I don't need these. When you wake up one morning, hey, well, I can see perfectly. Then you don't need your glasses. But until then, wear your glasses and keep believing for the healing of your eyes. Use the medicine. It's not a problem. Medicine can help keep you around so you can develop your faith. Do it. Brother Martin, I hear what you're saying, but that's the most lacking of faith sermon I've ever heard. I'm trusting God for the healing of my body. And you get worse and worse and worse. And then... you know, you die. And there I am, standing there by your casket. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered here today to mourn the passing of an absolute fool. No, I wouldn't say that. Well, the thing is, you'd be gone, so you don't know what I'm going to say. I'd say all kinds of things. This guy was the dumbest. Nah. Anyway, moving on here. You can become, you're living by faith, trusting God for your healing, and you're not going to take medicine, not going to do the therapy, not whatever. You know, you can become a real, how can I say this? You can become a liability in the lives of other people. Because now you're calling people to help you this and help you that. Well, why don't you take your medicine? Oh, God's going to heal me. Well, then you don't need me, do you? Oh, no, you got to come over and help me. I can't do this and I can't do that. Okay, how much longer are you going to put up with this? And how much longer are you going to inconvenience everybody and their brother because you're living by faith? It's okay to live by faith. It's okay to trust God for your healing. But use some common sense in this. If your faith's not at that place, you know, for me, I don't want to live 30 years with all kinds of pain in my body because I'm trusting God for my healing. I'm going to do something to deal with a condition. I'm going to do something to address the issue. I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to believe God. But you know, there comes a point to where I'm also going to say, okay, God, I've been believing you for X amount of time, and I haven't seen it manifest. I'm going to continue to believe you, but I'm going to get some medical assistance here. That's not wrong. Because faith has to be developed. Well, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's begin in verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. First off, a bishop is not a ministry calling. If you desire the office of a bishop, that is an appointed position. It is not a ministry calling. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of One wife, vigilant, sober. That husband of one wife literally means one wife at a time. That was a problem back there in some cities. Hey, it's a problem today in some countries. He says, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not guilty of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report. Now look at this. A good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Okay, what does that mean, good report of them which are without? Who are the them which are without? It's the people on the outside of the church. It's the people you work with. It's your neighbors. See, living by faith is not just a Sunday experience. It is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Living by faith is a demonstration of the character of Christ throughout your life. If I go to the place where you work and I start asking about you, tell me about so-and-so. You know, what's he like? And they start saying, oh man, the guy's great. And I come away understanding that your jokes are just as dirty as theirs, that your words are just as four-letter as theirs, that your comments about women are just as you-know-what as theirs. And I realize you're not much different than these folks here at work. They readily accept you because you blend in with them. You know what? You're not living by faith. You can say what you want. You're not living by faith. I'm not saying you lost your salvation, but what I'm saying is you're not living by faith. Living by faith means every day of your life you're living by the Word of God and the standards that He has set forth in His Word. That's living by faith. Now let's go back to this first part, what he said this morning, that confession is not a substitute for good nutrition. Now, this is still a part of common sense Christianity. It may not be a problem for you, but it is a problem with some Christians. How do you eat after fasting? How do you eat after a fast? See, God designed our bodies so that they need food. Do you hear this? Yeah, Brother Martin, boy, don't I know it. I go to Golden Corral every day. Okay. Well, that's not wrong. It just depends on what you do when you get to Golden Corral. I mean, do they have to chase you away? How do you eat after you fast? God has designed our bodies to need food. We are supposed to eat, and we are supposed to nourish our body. And what you feel is irrelevant. Now, here's what I mean. There are Christians I've met over the years, they talk like fasting is not that big of a deal. And I think they're weird. But they say, yeah, you know, I fast. Oh, yeah. And they talk about some inconveniences and so on. And I'm thinking, that is not the world in which I live. Fasting is a mortal enemy. Well, sometimes you run into Christians and they talk about how that, I mean, they're eating. Okay, they're eating throughout the day. It's just so wacky. It's just, there is no set anything. And when you talk to them about it, they defend it. Well, I don't eat that much food. No, you're a liar. No, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You're deceived. You're deceived. You think you don't need it, but you do. You know what you're actually doing? You're destroying your health. But I feel good. Oh, you do now. But you don't know what you're doing to your body. You're destroying your health, and you are becoming a liability to the people around you. I've heard people say things like, well, I don't need meals. Yeah, you do. And you're a fool if you don't eat. You say, well, Brother Martin, I live by faith. I don't want to hear that. You know, think about this. Jesus went on a fast. And what happened when he came off that fast? The devil attacked him. Okay, what about after that? The angels came and fixed him food. And he ate. What about the thousands of people? He's teaching, teaching, teaching. And the apostles said, well, we need to send them home. And Jesus said, that's right, we do. They can fast. No. What did he say? He said, no, we have to feed them. We have to feed these people. And so the loaves and fishes multiplied and so on and so forth. And so they ate. Fasting is the right thing to do. But so is eating. And if you're not eating properly, you can say what you want, but you are not living by faith. Now, I'm not saying you can't ever go to McDonald's or something like that. Okay, you guys understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I've heard this from some Christians. I just don't have much of an appetite. And? Okay, and? Well, you know, if you don't have an appetite, you can't eat. No. You can't. You might sell that to somebody else, but you're not going to sell that to me. No way. You eat. Well, it's like I have to force it. Then you force it. You eat. Eat. Quit destroying yourself right in front of our eyes. Eat. Do you hear me? E-E-T. Eat. You spell it your way. Make yourself eat. Force it down. Brother Martin, I disagree. I don't care. Disagree all you want. I won't preach your funeral. I'll let somebody else preach it. You're hurting yourself. You know what happens? If you don't eat properly, and if you just don't, your body begins to cannibalize itself. And you're going to end up with joint problems. You're going to end up with heart problems. You're going to end up with all kinds of stuff going on in your body that shouldn't be going on. And you're going to be afraid to tell anybody because you're walking by faith. And the whole time, you're deteriorating right before our eyes. Don't do this. But I've run into Christians over the years who are like that. And it's almost like it becomes a badge of honor. Well, I don't need to eat that much. I don't need to eat. Yeah, you do. Well, I wake up every morning. Well, glory to God. So do I. And my belly. See, living by faith does not mean you abuse your body and count on God to make up the difference. Living by faith means you do what you can do to keep your body healthy. Now, granted, I don't eat exactly the way I should, but I have reduced the amount of sugar that I eat. Hey, guess what? Kathy came home here a couple of months ago with a bag of Chips Ahoy cookies. Now, those are some of my favorite cookies ever, all right? And do you know, she ate the last two cookies the other night. Now, you may think that was cruel of her to do that, Brother Marno. Point I'm making is that bag sat around for at least 2 months before it was finished. There was a time she would not have gotten close to the last two cookies. What I would have done is just eaten all the cookies and left the empty bag out there on the counter, and she would have thought there were still some cookies left until she opened it. Well, the cookies are gone. The cookies are gone. The point I'm getting at, you don't have to become some kind of a tree bark chewing weirdo. Just take care of yourself. Living by faith includes, okay, confession is not a substitute for good nutrition. So I can, well, I don't need it. I don't need it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I confess, confess, confess. And God is up in heaven saying, you know what? You need to eat. Confess, but eat. Go to the store and buy some stuff. I don't like to cook. Then go to a restaurant. Well, I don't like to go out by myself. Then take somebody with you. I don't like anybody. Well, you got all the answers, don't you? Do it. do it. Now, this may sound harsh, but the thing is, a lot of Christians just don't understand this simple concept. And the very fact that the Lord said that to me this morning, that confession is not a substitute for good nutrition, means this is something that needs to be addressed. So even if you don't feel like it, do it. Do it. Even if it seems like, well, it's an I don't have time. Yeah, you do. You know what? Time is a vacuum. I've shared this before. Time is a vacuum, and it's going to be filled with something. So let some of your time be filled with food. Eat. Yeah. Can I get a witness? Yes, Brother Martin. You I have no problem with that one. I don't either. Common sense Christianity. It's all about living by faith, but understanding. There are certain aspects about living in a natural world that require common sense to how we live. Even Jesus was like that. He ate. He drank. He slept. He did what was necessary to keep going. And the same needs to be true for us. Now, there are other issues, other points, other subjects that we could, you know, get into, but this is all for tonight. It's enough to get you to thinking about what you're doing, and maybe none of these things are a problem with you. Maybe you're not challenged in any of those areas, and that's okay. But there are a lot of Christians out there, they need to hear this message. And they need to understand that living by faith is all too often living by foolishness when you consider their approach to the faith life. Faith life in this world includes common sense.